Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
As Strange as It Gets, Volume 1, Story 1. I moved in with a friend into this little town called Josephine. When his family moved up north, he asked me if I had been going through the front door through a living room where a lot of boxes were stored during his parents' move. I said no, and he told me the last three times he had done the yard work that not only had the door been unlocked, but it was cracked open slightly. It was an old house on an old cotton plantation town. He had taken a job working the grave shift, and one day his car broke down, and I stayed up to give him a ride home. In a den that his family had added to the house, there was an enclosed entertainment stand, that when you opened the door, there were mirrors on each side. That night, while watching TV, out of the corner of my eye, I noticed something in one side of the mirror and looked to the other side and saw a small figure pass by. I immediately got up and went into the kitchen and on into the bathroom where it was headed. I called out hello and got no response. I left to pick up my friend and during the car ride decided not to say anything in fear of ridicule from him. A month later, the night of my birthday, another friend went to the house to greet others while I had dinner with my family. When I arrived, all three were hanging out in the driveway. When I approached, I apologized for forgetting the key. My friend said that the front door was left open, and they squeezed through the boxes, but that was not the problem. One of them said he would not go into the house because while he sat and watched TV, he saw someone walk through the house in the reflection in the mirror. When he searched the house, no one was there. When my roommate arrived home, I told my friend to tell my roommate what had happened. My roommate replied, "Did you see the ghost?" I still get chills. Some time has passed and we both moved on to other towns and other homes. I got a phone call from an acquaintance of ours. He had recently spoken to my old roommate. The new owners of the old house had torn down an old wooden shed that was in the backyard. Under it, they had found the bones of a young child. Story number 2. My uncle drowned in a lake in Dallas when he was just 24. I was 8 at the time, but I remember it like it was yesterday. He died a month after my grandfather had passed. I remember him telling my grandmother that he had a dream about Granddad. He said he was in a shower and there was water all over him. In his dream, he said he was begging for my granddad, and then he woke up. A month later, my uncle wanted to go to Dallas for a 2-week trip to a lake with his friends, so he asked his father if he would let him go. My granddad told him no. He did not have any money for him. Then he told my uncle that he could go if he made his own money. That was back in 1974, so my uncle got a job digging a hole. His job was to dig it 6 feet deep. When he got home, he told my grandmother about it. She said that he should not dig a hole over his head or he would be digging his own grave. Well, he did it anyway. My grandmother did not want him to go to Dallas. She begged him to stay, but he kept telling her he was going because he was a grown man now. He could look out for himself. She then told my other uncle to watch out for him and do not let him into the lake because he could not swim well. He drowned. My other uncle came back to tell us the bad news and that he was still in the lake in Dallas. One day we were all sitting in the living room and my little brother went to the kitchen to get some water and he came back white as a ghost. He said he had seen our dead uncle sitting in the kitchen table. My brother said he was smiling at him. That was not the last time we saw him. One Saturday night, my grandmother and my step-grandfather went out, and they left my mom watching us. This is a big farmhouse, and we were all in the same room. My mom told me and my younger uncle to go get a book from the bookshelf. She was going to read us a book. When we got in there, someone knocked on the front door. It was a special knock. We went to see who it was, but no one was there, and the wind was blowing hard. We ran to the room and told Mom what had just happened. She said it was her brother, the one who drowned. He would come home every night at 12 midnight when he was alive and knock like that. The next day, we had family members come over. All the grown-ups were in the house and all the kids were outside playing. I was the first to see it. We were running around the porch, jumping off when I just stopped. I was standing there looking out into the yard. When I looked up in the tree, now mind you, these trees had leaves, but at that moment, they did not. There was a strange figure standing on the branches. It had arms, legs, body, and head, but it was thick. I told the other kids. We went to throw rocks at it. You could see the rocks going through it. We threw rocks at it until we got tired, then we went back to playing. I always wondered if that was my uncle. Next story. Back in 1997, I had moved to a house rebuilt by my family on Doughty Ferry Road. It was a house all burned up inside with a barn in the back, with, and this is true, hospital beds. I was around 6 or 7 at the time. I loved the house, and I felt safe. I never believed in ghosts or demons at the time. One day, my sister, who was around 10 or 11 at the time, and I were playing Monopoly. I had gone my turn when I looked up and saw a huge black cloud come all around my sister. When I pointed at it, it made a horrible screech. My sister and I ran out the door and started praying and crying. My father came in with his rifle and searched the whole room. There was nothing to be found. A few weeks later, my parents slept in that room, and my sister and I slept in her room. My sister said that one night, I was asleep at the time, she saw two black figures outside the window. She had her window open because the AC did not work. She said that one of them talked like a heavy metal singer and said, "Should we get her?" The other figure said, "No, she is not ready." She said a minute later they jumped through the window. One of them had yellow bright eyes and the other green. She wanted to scream and started to cry because they were staring right at her. She had no idea if they were looking at her or something else. They had heard her scream and they jumped out the window. A few months later, we moved out. We rented it to a man who a year later went crazy because he had seen the same thing I did. A few years later, a man had bought the home from us and he moved out and gave us the home back, wanting nothing in return. He even left his furniture there. One day my uncle was fixing the floors at that home, and he was digging in the dirt where my sister saw the two figures. He found a kid's skull whose age would be between 8 and 10. Today we have sold the house to a man who said he loves the home, but he has heard strange noises. He said somehow his clothes end up on the floor every once in a while. Next story. When I was 10 or 11 years old, I lived in a duplex house on Neely Street in Oak Cliff, Dallas, Texas. This is by Davis. I was outside eating ice cream with my cousin in midsummer about 8 p.m. when we noticed a car with about 5 people driving slowly around with confused looks on their faces. As we focused in on what the people were looking at, we saw a woman with 2 children on each side of her, and she was wearing a white gown, sort of looked like a wedding gown, and the kids were also dressed formal. The woman had no feet and was floating in midair as she was crying. We could see her clearly, but her face was a blur. My cousin and I ran inside because we were so scared of what we were witnessing before our very own eyes. My older sister and brother-in-law at the time were in shock also. They looked out the window of the house and their eyes grew huge. A few months after, my aunt took a walk to the corner store only to return to my house pale and out of breath, telling my family a lady with the same description chased her down the alleyway. Since then, I still hear stories from a friend who lives on the same street, and this area is super haunted. As to who the lady is, no one knows. Next story. Well, my story starts in Garland, Texas. At the time I was 19, I lived over in some apartments called Broadway Apartments with my little brother and girlfriend. Later that year, which was in 03, my mom was murdered off Dal Rock around I-30 on Easter Sunday. Her birthday was 4 days earlier. She was 38 years old. I was waiting over at Lake for a phone call to pick her up. She never called. She was actually going to surprise me and my family. I did, however, receive a phone call from my little sis, which was pregnant at the time, saying that my mother was murdered. So I went to check it out, and as I approached the gas station, she was laying on the ground. At that moment, my heart stopped, and I went crazy, seeing my mother on the floor with 2 gunshot wounds to her head. This was unforgettable, and I will not go into further details on this. A few years have passed, and it was around July of 06. I lived off Rhone, 2 miles away from my old apartments, in the Meadow Apartments, and a few things started happening. I had a friend named Richard staying with me a few weeks. He kept telling me that he heard his name called out late at night. I did not think anything of it and kept telling him he was dumb, until one day we were all in the kitchen cooking dinner, and my girlfriend said she had dropped some uncooked beans into the disposal. So being a licensed plumber, here I came to the rescue. As I was reaching into the disposal to get the beans out, the damn thing turned on. I got scared and started to curse at my girlfriend, thinking she was playing a joke on me, but she was nowhere near the switch. So we all just looked at each other and went about our day. That same year, in November, we had moved to Bay Island Apartments off Shahaha, 2 miles away, because our lease was up. Strange things started happening there a month since we moved in. My son Alex had the bedroom downstairs, and me and my girlfriend had the one upstairs. For a whole month, my son had no problem sleeping on his own downstairs. And for some reason, he started getting scared late at night and went up to our room daily. We would all feel uneasy in this apartment, but for a while, it just felt like we were being watched, and my girlfriend said she would hear noises coming from upstairs and doors opening and stuff like that. But I never took it too seriously. Well, that is until I experienced something for myself. It was on a Monday night. I was upstairs getting ready for my bed when my son was asleep in his room and my girlfriend was downstairs cleaning up the kitchen. Towards the end, when she was finishing up, I decided I was going to sneak up and scare her. I was going downstairs to scare her, and I see a shadow coming upstairs so quickly, and it went and hid behind my bedroom door. About 10 seconds went by, and she never came up. I thought she was being sneaky, trying to scare me, but I did not hear any footsteps. I decided to step out into the hallway, and I did not see her, so I called out her name to see if she was okay. She said she was fine, and I went downstairs to tell her what I saw and brought my son upstairs with us. About an hour later, I awoke to something rubbing my left leg and panicked. I started freaking out. It felt like electricity or something, like when you get chills going up your leg, and I quickly got my shotgun and checked out the apartment. I admit, I was freaking scared, stepping out my room, but I did it. When I got back to bed, not even 5 minutes later, it happened again. I felt another touch going from my foot to my thigh, and that was it. I panicked, throwing things towards the door until I saw my girlfriend crying, and I just stopped and grabbed my Bible and started reading it out loud all over the apartment. I only lasted about 2 weeks there until I broke the lease. All these events happened within 4 miles of where my mom was murdered, each more intense than the move before. And as I moved closer to where she died, it also kept getting worse. And I really don't know if she had anything to do with what was happening. Next story. I had a friend who died of an overdose back in 97, so I often used to visit him at Sparkman Cemetery by North Park Mall. One night, I decided to visit him while it was dark out. I'd had a bad day and wanted to share it with him. I usually walk straight to his grave and then back to my car, but this time I decided to walk through one of the paths. It was dark out, so I couldn't see much except that there was a man sitting on a bench I was about to walk next to. I walked past and looked at the man, but really couldn't see his face. I could tell it was an elderly black man with a Kangol-type hat on, and I could see the bright red tip of his cigarette. I walked maybe a foot from him, nodded, and kept walking. About 5 steps later, I thought to myself, what is an elderly black man doing at the cemetery at this hour? I looked back, and he was gone. I realized then he was never really a person, but a ghost. I've not been back since. Next story. I used to live in a house on East Randall near the high school. I'd lived there for 3 years before I moved out. I did not really experience anything dramatic at first. Every now and then you thought you had seen something out of the corner of your eye or heard something. However, it really wasn't until almost 6 months before I moved out that I really started to wonder and think there was something more in the house. I worked all hours of the day and night. Many nights I would go and come in late. I would come in at 2 or 3 a.m. I was tired and would crawl into bed next to my wife, who would be totally asleep, and begin to get comfy and get ready to crash. That was when I would start hearing voices close to me. It was as if a person was in the same room or near me. When I opened my eyes, I realized that I was still awake. I just laid down. Nothing was there. Once I laid down and I felt something on the foot of the bed, like someone sitting on the edge of the bed. Well, that was what I felt. When I realized what I felt, I sat up and looked, and no one was there. I looked at my wife, and she had not moved. That was the first time I really thought about maybe something out of the ordinary could be there. couple of weeks before we moved, came home late again. I went to bed, and I heard noises and voices again. This time, I wanted to catch it off guard. I kept my eyes closed. I wanted to surprise it by all of a sudden opening my eyes and sitting up, and maybe I would see something. When all of a sudden, just when I was going to sit up, this voice came at me. It came through me and yelled something in my right ear about the time I was going to get up. Well, it made me jump up and swing at it. I actually thought someone was in my room next to me. I swung as if to hit someone. When I realized I was up and what had happened, I looked at my wife, and she still was the same, asleep without moving. I then started to taunt this thing to show itself. I told it that I was not asleep or lying down anymore. I told it I was not afraid and to show itself. But it did not. Then about 2 weeks before we moved, I went home during the day to change clothes. My wife and kids were in the living room watching TV. I walked to my room to change. When I entered, I noticed my wife had washed the sheets and changed the bedding. I sat on the edge of my bed by the foot side when I was putting on my jeans. When I was walking out, I noticed I wrinkled the sheets a bit, so I thought to myself, she had just done it, I should fix it. I fixed the bed nice and neat again. I straightened out the sheet, and I walked back to the living room and forgot my keys when I came back to the bedroom. No one had followed me to the living room. I came in and found what appeared to be a seat impression wrinkle on the side of my wife's head area. The bed was messed up in that area, which, for one, I never sat there, and I had just fixed the bed. That was strange. I never told her because I didn't want to alarm her. What makes this story all too weird was that after I had moved, and I did not move because of it, a friend of mine asked me why I moved. I told him I needed a bigger house with more rooms. He proceeded to tell me that about a year before I moved in, he and a friend had rented that house. They had lived there about 2 months. One night they were watching TV and they heard something weird. When they looked, they saw this black, dark figure in the hallway. He told me that they moved out that night. Well, that was it. I do not really know for sure, but that is my story. I still get that feeling when I drive by there sometimes. All I know since I've moved is that there's been a lot of different people that live there, and I wonder why. Next story. There's an old highway that runs close to Bay Cliff, and it went through Seabrook. I believe it's where Harris and Galveston counties meet. Sorry if my descriptions are off, but it's been 20 years plus. I'm from Dickinson and have moved away since I was 21 and haven't been back. On this old highway, there's a sharp curve where a man was killed by a hit and run. He was out early one day jogging, and he was killed, and nothing was supposedly done about it. There was no official suspects. If you meet another vehicle on the curve, and there's no one behind it, it will bring out the ghost of the jogger. I've seen it, or him. My friend at the time had seen him, of course, and I thought he was full of it. We went to investigate, and we had to drive back and forth until we did it correctly. Then it happened. We drove like we were supposed to, and I stopped in the middle of the road. I asked everyone not to say anything or describe anything. When I saw the jogger, he was running towards us, but it was more like running in place. I asked 3 questions, and they described him perfectly. Black hair, no shirt, and black shorts. I saw him. He's real. If you run at him, he doesn't like it, and the look he gives you will send shivers down your spine. But then, he just disappears. Next story. We rented a house in a subdivision on a street named Scott Reef Drive. I wondered why the house was available as it was in a desirable area, and why it was so cheap. We rented it for only $675 a month. I got my answer shortly after moving in. It was because the house was haunted. The garage was turned into a den. The house also originally had 4 bedrooms. The previous owners also knocked down a wall and made a huge master bedroom that had 2 doors to enter the room from the long hallway. Well, a few days after moving in, I told my husband while I was sitting at a desk in the den that I had a bad feeling. I felt something really horrible happened in this house. I'm not psychic, nor have I ever seen ghosts prior to moving into this house. I was pregnant. One day I got out of the shower, and when I opened the bathroom door, I thought I saw my husband, standing in the hall. I said, "You scared me," and I closed the door slightly for a few seconds to adjust my towel. Then I proceeded to follow my husband down the hall into the master bedroom. He was several feet in front of me, and when I got into the room, he was not there. I went into the living room, and my husband was lying on the couch watching TV, and my mother-in-law was sitting on the love chair. I said to my husband, "How did you get out here so fast?" At which point, he wanted to know what I was talking about. He said he had not moved off the couch and had been watching TV the whole time. I told him the story about how I had just followed who I thought was him into the room. He got up and checked the closets, the laundry room, and the side entrance door. Everything was double locked, so no intruder was in the house. I knew I had not imagined it. A few weeks later, my husband walked into the kitchen and thought his mom was standing at the sink. He asked her to move over so he could get something. Then this person looked at him, smiled, and disappeared right in front of him. I got up early one morning to find a snake trying to slither on the slippery tile inside the entrance to our front door. We had tile extending from the front door into the dining room. It was early. No one had opened the door or left it opened long enough for a snake to slither in. For one, it was summer, and we had air conditioning. We also did not want flies or something like that coming in, so we never left that door open. The weather stripping on the bottom of the door was almost new, and there was no spaces. We had no idea how the snake got inside the house. One day I was standing in the hall, looking at the paint job in my son's room, and I noticed hundreds of touch-up spots all over the walls. You could see them through the paint job. I wondered if the spots could be hiding something underneath. I noticed my son's room had 30 or 40 huge green and black houseflies dead on his windowsill shortly after moving in. While sitting on the couch, I heard the back door open, the water in the kitchen sink turn on and then off, and the back door open again. Again, the door was double locked, and no one had been in the house. I was up late one night and vacuumed the rug. No one was awake. I put the vacuum away, and when I came back, my son's tricycle was right in the middle of the room, sitting on top of the vacuum marks in the carpet. He was asleep, and I had no idea how that tricycle got there. All of this scared us so bad each time an incident happened. We stayed less than 3 months. More things happened that my husband would not talk to me about. We both knew that house was haunted. Next story. In 1995, in the old El Indio town site, now known as Cinco Cattle Ranch, 3 men were fishing in a canal that would irrigate grasslands. The canals were well known for its fish that came from the main canal. They were fishing when they heard bells, or so they thought. They stopped talking to hear that the sound was getting closer and closer. Suddenly they spotted a large wagon. Since it was late in the evening, the sun was already going down. They could see large black horses with the wagon. The wagon had lanterns hanging in the back. The 3 men took notice that the bell sound was actually the chains that held the horses and wagon together. They saw bags that were open and large coins were dropping to the paved road. They followed it, but by the time they got out there, they had gone to their cars to follow. The night had fallen, and they could not find any sign of that large wagon. The following morning, they took notice that the wagon had left wheel tracks that followed through a fence that was not even cut, and you could still see wheel tracks that went over a hill, and the grass was not disturbed. Next story. It was in 1980. A friend of mine named Terry from Ranger and I went all working on a drilling rig together in Eastland County. He told us about Screamy Sheila. No one really believed him, so we rode out to the lake with a few other friends that were working on the drilling rig. We were drilling wells, which was the Ray Ritchie and Company. Now, what I'm about to tell you, it's true. At first, the lake looked normal. It started getting dark. Terry took off his boots, rolled up his pants, and waded out in about knee-deep water. Then all of a sudden, he started screaming, "Something has me! Something has a hold of me!" We ran out in the water and grabbed Terry. We started dragging him to the bank, but it was nearly impossible to drag him. 3 of us couldn't drag him, and the water was only knee-deep. When we pulled him out of the water, He had handprints on his ankles. We never went back to Ringling Lake again. Next story. It's been 43 years since my encounter with Screaming Sheila at Ringland Lake. Three of us, all boisterous teenagers with attitudes, drove out to see this so-called ghost and were ready to prove that she was nothing but a hoax. We were parked in the dark near the campground laughing and talking about anyone or anything that crossed our minds. Looking back, I know that we were scared and that we were just trying anything we could not to show it. Suddenly, the night was pierced with a blood-curdling scream. It was the high-pitched scream of a woman, and it came out of the night so suddenly that it raised the hair on the back of my neck. I don't mind saying that all the macho I came with was suddenly gone. I was yelling, "Get out of here! Go! Go!" It was very apparent that I wasn't the only one scared witless. Both of my friends were yelling, and when we tried to start the car, the battery wouldn't crank the motor. It was dead. The screaming continued for what seemed an eternity, and then it ceased as suddenly as it started. We were all yelling and holding door handles as if Sheila could yank open the locked doors. Immediately after the screaming stopped, we tried to start the car again, and the engine cranked as if there was never a problem. Our exit had to compare to the Indy 500. We talked of this night many times, but we never talked about going back. As far as I'm concerned, Screaming Sheila is the real deal. I'm now 59 years old, and you still couldn't talk me into going to that lake after dark. My mom and dad knew I was scared of the lake, and we were out to eat at K-Bob's when I was in my 30s. They started telling me that they bought some land and asking would I like to go see it. I told them that would be great, but when we left the restaurant, it was just after dark, and they were talking, and as we rode, trying to keep me occupied. Then they turned toward Ringland Lake, and I opened my door and jumped out of their moving car. They found out how serious I was that night. As far as I'm concerned, I will never see Ringland Lake again. And if I hear that scream again, it will be in my nightmares. Next story. This is one story I hate telling, but I feel bad for anyone living on Verhalen Road. I lived on Verhalen Road years ago with my first husband in the house at that time that were duplexes. I would have such horrible dreams. My body would be paralyzed while asleep. It was sleep paralysis, I believe. One time, my then husband was at work and had 6 hours left till getting off. My daughter was in the bath and I was next to her in the mirror blow-drying my hair. Then I heard my husband call my name very loud, so I replied, yelling back, "Hey, you're home early?" No one said anything. But my daughter said as soon as my name was called, "Daddy's home." That was when I called back out. I went to check, but to my surprise, the front door was locked. Both of his chains were on the door. My husband was not home from work, and no one could get in. I was shaken. My 4-year-old daughter and I both heard my name being called. Then one night, my husband and I were sleeping, and we heard the toilet flushing in our room. And we both woke up at the same time. There was no one there. We started falling back to sleep when we heard what sounded like a radio with static was at the door of our bedroom getting turned on higher and higher in volume. It was the most demonic, disturbing noise that sounded like someone slowly turning the volume button higher and higher. It sounded like whatever it was trying to talk, but in a truly demonic voice. When it finally stopped, my husband and I jumped out of bed to grab our baby, who was just 6 months old at the time. We grabbed baby diaper bag and our other daughter and we left. We just got in the car and left for the night to figure out what to do. We knew what we heard and we were scared to go back. Verhalen Road in Alvin, Texas has more than spirit. It has a truly demonic vibe. Next story. I'm not going to be too detailed, so I won't give out my exact address, but let's just say that my house is located a little past the intersection of County Road 172 and County Road 191. My house was built in 1962. We moved into this house in 2002 when I was 10 years old. And for the first few years, I refused to sleep in my room. I would stay in my mom's room. My room just made me feel really uneasy for some reason, and I did not like being in there alone. I eventually started to stay in my room again, and we never really had anything weird happen until the last 4 or 5 years. I tend to find that a lot of these accounts involved my twin brother. A couple of years ago, my brother and I were by ourselves sitting in the living room. He was playing a video game while I watched. All of a sudden, he said his back was stinging, so he pulled up his shirt, and there were 3 small lines that appeared to be a scratch on his lower right back. He immediately thought it was my cat, but we didn't see her around. I went to look for her and found her asleep in my room. Another time, we were both sitting in there, and we heard what sounded like the garage door opening. We assumed our mom was home from work. After a minute, I went and looked out the window into the garage, but it was closed and no one was there. My brother said he had actually been there by himself before, and it had opened on its own a couple of times. I know that could be something with the wiring, though. There was also a lamp in the living room that would turn on by itself while he was in the living room, and he would just try to ignore it. 2 summers ago, in June of 2012, my brother and I had another experience yet again. My mom and sister went to bed around 10 or 10:30 p.m. I had laid down around 11:30 p.m., and my brother did not have to work early, so of course, he was up playing video games. He knocked on my door around 12:30 a.m. and asked me if I had been in the dining room within the last 20 minutes. I said no. I've been in bed for the last hour. He said that while he was in the living room, he thought he heard one of the dining room chairs move like someone had pulled it out. When he was on his way to bed, he walked by the table and saw that one of the chairs was in fact pulled out from under the table. He said my cat was acting weird. It was as if she was being pinched or something. She kept jumping and running around. I told him again that it was not me and that he should just try to go to bed. He finally went into his room, which was right next to mine. Of course, I was then freaking out and couldn't sleep. About 30 minutes later, he called my cell phone from his room and asked if I could hear the noises he was hearing. I didn't hear anything, and he told me it sounded like something was brushing against the floor right outside his door. We were both silent for a few seconds so I could listen for it. Then we heard a loud bang right outside our doors. We both were freaked out and too scared to look. We stayed on the phone, and after a minute or so, he got up the courage to open his door and look out. He said, "Look at this. There's a broom in the hallway." I told him to come to my room, and he ran in there really quick. We both sat at the end of my bed with the door open, just staring at the broom, not knowing what to do. Now, my brother is a 6'2" big and strong man who is not afraid of anything. In that moment, to see him shaking and near tears had me the most scared I've ever been in my life, all because of a broom. We called my mom from her room, and she came out and just picked up the broom and took it back out to the garage where it normally was. We all stayed in her room that night, but she was still skeptical about that incident. I thought she was just trying to be brave and didn't want to admit she felt scared too. The most recent thing that happened was that my siblings have told me about was way back in 2013. My brother was at home alone playing video games again while he waited to go to work. He heard a thud that sounded like it came from above him, like in the attic or the roof. He ignored it the first 2 times. The 3rd time he decided to go look outside to make sure nothing was on the roof. And he didn't see anything, and he said he took a quick peek in the attic. He's crazy. To make sure there was not an animal in there, and still saw nothing. He went back to his video games, and he said the next one was so terrifyingly loud that he left for work about 1.5 hours early. Something similar happened to my sister a few weeks later, but she was looking for something in the hallway closet across from my brother's room. She heard a thud on his door behind her. She opened the door to make sure that cat or dog weren't stuck in there, and they weren't. She went back to looking in the closet. The next one was a super loud thud, so she left the house immediately. Those are the main accounts I have. There have been many other random noises. My sister heard a door slam shut once. My brother heard a growl once, and has claimed to see shadows twice, once within the last year and once in our old apartment when he was 9. I thought I heard a growl and someone saying my name right in my ear. Both woke me up from sleeping. There have been a lot of random things that make me feel very uneasy about going home. I know a lot of good people say houses make noises, and that there's a logical explanation for the things you hear, and I'm sure some of it is explainable. However, When you have four people living under one roof and three of them have felt and heard things, I do not think it's a coincidence at all.